Okay, so before we move on the Gemara, there was one last end, loose end I wanted to tie up from last week. And that was we had a machlokas, Rav and Shmuel, as to what the origin of the machlokas, the gzera of Shem and Shalakim was. And Rav had said it was Daniel Obestino Gazarala, and Shmuel said it was Lifasan Shalkelim Asurim Osratan. So Rav said it was a gzera, standard order gzera of Daniel and his eating non-Jewish food. And Shmuel said it actually really was a fundamental question of Isser. The claim was that the Shem and Shalakim was produced in vessels that that were used for treif stuff, and the assumption must have been that there were blios in there, or there was be'en that got mixed into the oil, and therefore it was all Isser. And so the Gemara presented the following after presented the following question to Rav, that Bishlama, the assumption was, according to Shmuel, it was fine. Bishlama, Shmuel said, Lididi, that I say it's Lifasam Shalkelim Tamei Masratan, so that's why they were matir, because Rabbi Yehuda Nesiya Paskin that no Saint Talmud Gam is Mota. But according to you, Rav, that it was Exer, Daniel Abestino, so how could they undo it if it's not a God of a Chachma Minyan? So the question that we asked immediately was, well, the same question can be asked according to Shmuel. How could Rehuda Nesiya approach an issue that an earlier Beis Din had ruled in a certain way, and all of a sudden Paskin differently? In fact, the Gemara will say later, we'll quote at least, although it may only be Rav, that's a question, it's a Bali in the name of Rav, that Hillel and Sham, Beishamai and Beisela, Wagozer, one of the Yud Ches Tavar, was Shem and Shalakim. So if they held of Benosei and Dalam of Gam as Asar, how could Rabbi Yehuda Nesiya and his Beis Din permit it? So what I said last week was that this is an obvious proof for the Rambam. The Rambam believes that only Xeros require a Beis Din Gadol B'Chachma Minyan. But Dinim D'Oraisa, real interpretations of principle law, don't. Any Beis Din can overturn that. So no Saint Tam of Gam is not a question of a Xero the Midrabanan. It's a Machlokas HaTanoim, whether or not it's an Issa D'Oraisa, whether it's Mutter. So that's the way we explained it. But I pointed out at the time that other Rishonim clearly did not agree with the Rambam, even though they don't quote the Rambam and argue in the Rambam, because Tosfos is bothered by these questions, and he articulates a totally different approach. What's fascinating about Tosfos, we'll read the Tosfos. Tosfos comes at this from a very, very different angle. He doesn't seem to be primarily bothered by merely the question of how could Shmuel undo this din of no Saint Tom of Gamazasar. He's bothered by a whole set of sources that seem that this would create problems with. So Tosfos says as follows. On the top, Tosfos, Kasavar no Saint Tom of Gam is Mutar. Lefum riata, when you read the sugya quickly, literally bimiritzus, to run, mashma sha'osam sha'asru kodem Rabbi Yehuda, kigon tamide shamai vehillel, sovra no sentam of gam is asr. It sounds like everybody who held that it was asr, if it wasn't because of stomach zera, then you have to assume it's because they held no sentam of gam is asr. For asr Rabbi Yehuda nesia, v'savar mutar. Rabbi Yehuda nesia came along, he held that no sentam of gam was in fact mutar. Ushmuel savar kavase. Rabbi Shmuel accepted Rabbi Simloi's report. We'll see on Lamed Zayin Malaf. Rabbi Simloi was Rabbi Yehuda Nesiya's Shamash. So Rabbi Simloi reported that Rabbi Yehuda Nesiya and his Beis Din had Bimatir the Shaman. And so that's the way Shmuel paskened. Ulakama nami perisha kuntras in the last parak gabe chometz asher sam latocha grisim, when vinegar, wine vinegar, fell into beans that were cooking a stew. Pasik Shmuel hachi hilchasano sein tam of gam is mutar. That's how Shmuel paskened later by that case, because again Shmuel l'shitasa. Shmuel held not only a shem and shalakum mutar, but all those same tam of gam is mutar. And I should make clear about this. We say no sein tam of gam is mutar. There is exerim the Rabbanon of cooking in kelim that haven't been used for 24 hours. Even though the food will be mutter, there's exerim cooking in a kli, which is eno benyomo, otu you might come to cook in a kli, which is a benyomo. But no Saint Tom of Gam is mutter, meaning once you have a situation where there is flavor in food from a source that's aser, but it's pogame, it's not mashpiach, so it's mutter. It's not that it's Aser b'di'evet. It's not that it's, you know, mutter b'di'evet as chatchila. No Saint Tam of Gam itself is almost by definition a b'di'evet situation, and the food is mutter. So that's what Shmuel holds. And then Tosfos observes the common b'pirkan gabe mishcha shlika sasam atamud. When the Gemara is trying to explain why mishcha shlika would or wouldn't be a problem, it says imishum geule akum no Saint Tam of Gamhu. Okay, so Tosfos says Rashi here and there some Gemaras paint a consistent picture that no Saint Tam of Gam is mutter. However, v'dikdek ri, the ri asked the following question. Heich ba'u lachlo ka rabosenu shamai v'hilal b'dinos ni tamath kam latiro. So Tosa says, how could Shmuel, how could Rabbi Yehuda Nasian is based in, be cholek on the Talmidim of Shammai and Hillel to be matir no sein tam lefgam? And he says, Nihi the shemen yachol liyo shemutar. It might be that you could argue that shemen shel akum is mutar, mishmitam shelo pashat, because it wasn't pashat isuro b'chol akohol. Ve'ein rovatziv yichol lamud. However, Bishar Dvarim Hechutar, which is a very interesting question Tosis is asking. Tosis is saying almost the following. He's saying, I understand how Shmuel, Yehuda Nasian is based in, could be Matir no Sein Talmufgam by Shemen Shalakim. You know why? Because the Gzera was not Pashta B'chol Yisrael. But no Sein Talmufgam, by all other situations, how could Rabbi Nasian and his based in, or Shmuel be Matir? It's against the Talmidim of Shammai V'Hillel. Because they, at least right now, we're assuming they held that no Sein Talmufgam is Aser. That's why they said Shemen Shalakim is Aser. It's a very, very odd question Tosis is asking. It's not even so much the question. There's a supposition here that you could have a halachic issue like no sein tam lefgam, which is fundamentally, it's not a question of gzeira. It's a core machlokas. Is it mutar or aser? It's a basic din in the question of isim heter. And Tosis is suggesting that you could be matir in some circumstances and you could be oser in other circumstances, right? I understand how Yehuda Nasian is based in could be matir shem and shalakim because lo pashta yisur b'chol yisrael. But all other no sein tam lefgam, who says it wasn't Pasha Yisur B'chol? How? You got to pick one or the other. Right? It's very, I don't know what, it's very strange. But that's what Tosus asks. V'od kasha. Isvir le'letana demasnisin de no sein tam lefgam is aser. Our Mishnah, the Tanakam of our Mishnah, before you get the line of Rebbe Ubeisdino Hitiro B'shemen, said that Shemen Shalakam is aser. So if the Tana of our Mishnah, and presumably the Tana throughout the Perek, holds that no sein tam lefgam is aser, tikshayha da'amar lekama gabad dvash. The Mishnah later will say that dvash shalakum is not a problem. Right? We have three sets of Mishnayas. Things that are aser and aser b'hana, things that are aser b'achila but mutar b'hana, and things that are mutar even b'achila. So dvash is one of the things that's mutar b'achila. Why is dvash mutar? So the Gemara says, l'may nechosh, imishem gilei akum no sein letam lefgam hu. So the Gemara wants to say that dvash is mutar, because you're not concerned about no sein tam lefgam. So Tosa says, what are you talking about? Amabakach, hatana d'masnisan meser kasar. In other words, you're right, then we might paskin that way, but we're explaining the Tana of the Mishnah. The Tana of the Mishnah says that dvash of a goy is mutar. But if the Tana of this Mishnah holds that no sein tam lefgam is usur, or forgetting about what we hold, how can the Mishnah say that dvash is one of the things that are mutar? And it's on the basis of no sein tam lefgam being mutar. The Tana, this Tana holds no sein tam lefgam is usur. Satosis therefore comes up with a very interesting teretz. I'm not interested in exploring the teretz. It's a little bit dachuk, but it was really up until this point that I really wanted to get to highlight the fact that Tosis clearly disagrees with the Rambam. According to the Rambam, of course Rabbi Yehuda Nasian is based in could be matir shem and shalakum, because it could be matir no sein tam lefgam. Because it's not a gzera midrabanan. It's like, it's a davar which is, in fact, it's a machlokas on how to read the psukim. We mentioned last week, lo solchul chol nevela, la gera sher misharecha titnanavachala. So the drasha, I think, of Rabbi Yehuda is that nevela haru'uya lager is called nevela. But if it's not ru'uya lager, if it's no same time, if it's pagum, then Rabbi Yehuda says that it's mutar. Right, Rabbi Meir believes the only time that a nevela is mutar if it's srucha meikara. I'm not sure what that means, but I think it means when the animal is alive, it already somehow has some flesh-rotting disease. It's inedible now. You know that right now it's inedible, so when you kill the animal, and now it becomes a nevela, it's srucha meikara. But Rabbi Huda says, no, or Rabbi Shimon says, no, that if the nevela is not really ger, it's not called nevela, because davar pagum, and by extension, something that's nosing tam lefgam in other food is not oser. So this is a din d'oraisa that they're arguing about. So the Rambam would say it's very simple. So later Beis Din understood the pesukim differently. Doesn't matter if they're a tenth as great as the original Beis Din. Ein lecha shofet el shalbi amecha. When it comes to Rav's statement, if it was a gzeir of Daniel Beis Dino, so of course you need a Beis Din that's called the b'chachaminin. So for the Rambam, it reads perfectly. Obviously, Tosas doesn't agree with the Rambam. Tosas assumes, I would almost say, it's a more intuitive position, even if it doesn't fit as well in the Gemara. Tosis assumes that if a gzera midrabanan, you need a based in gadol b'chachmin to overturn, how much more so would you need it for a din d'oraisa? Okay. So that's what, that's the way Tosis, so Tosis comes up with some reading of the Gemara. It's a very, very strange reading of the Gemara. It's kedarik b'kodesh. As I said last week, I think the simpler reading of the Gemara really reads like the Rambam. Okay. That said, let's turn now to Lamed Vav Amud Beis. That's where we got last week, just to the top of the daf, to the top of the Amud. The first word on the third line. Gufa. So we had a statement quoted in the previous sugya. Amar Bali, Amar Avimi, Nuta, Mishmei the Rav. Pitan Vishamnon, Yenon Uvenosehem, Kulam Mishnona Asar Davarhein. The Gzera against Pas Akum, Shemen Shalakum, Yen Akum, and this is the fun one, Benos Akum, are all from the 18 things. So I know what Shemen Shalakum is, I know what Pas Shalakum is, I know what Yain Shalakum is. What are Benos Akum, the daughters of non-Jews? So you can see this could get fun already. I think there are a lot of people who are going to be sad that they missed this year. So the Gemara is actually going to have a machlokas about this. Now, the obvious interpretation would be what? It's obvious, but it would seem to be wrong, is what? What's that? What? That's what you would have thought. What's the problem with saying that? The assumption is it's only the Yud Ches Davar, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel. You know, there is that famous line, colloquial line, that they say shiksas are for practice, right? But it sounds like, you know, midoraisa, that's, if you read that statement literally, it sounds like there's no isser. Question is, what exactly is it talking about? Even if it is talking about that, the Gemara is going to have a discussion. But it's a machlokas. So the Gemara immediately says, b'noseihem mahi, amar av Nachman bar Yitzchak, gozru al b'noseihem nidos me'ari susan. They were gozer, that from the moment they're born, to treat them with tumas nida, which is to appreciate the gzeir, you have to understand the following. It is conceivable. In fact, it happens in Netzias. It's a very strange, you know, when I first encountered it, I thought it was very odd. But a student of mine, who was actually in medical school, pointed this out to me, that it's not actually incorrect. The Mishnah Nida says that a girl can become a Nida on the first day she's born. In fact, it's not something that doesn't happen. The reason it actually occasionally happens, you get a little bit of a bloody discharge, is because when the baby was inside the mother in a bath of hormones, sometimes you actually do get a little, buildup of the endometrial lining or something like that. And when the child is born and you have a withdrawal of the hormones, you get, I mean, it's not, I don't think it's normally like a full-fledged thing, but you actually can get bleeding. So the idea that a tinokes bas yom echad is mitama benida is actually not an unheard of circumstance. It's actually, I don't want to say fairly common, but it's actually something that can happen. It's not one of these rabbinical theoretical constructions. Now, however, there is no nida by a non-Jew. There is no din, all the dinim of there is no din of Tumah V'Tahara, period, by a non-Jew. The only case of Tumah V'Tahara that exists by a non-Jew, that's a machlokes, but is a non-Jew who has died. There are three shittos in Rishonim. The position of some Rishonim is a very minority position, as the goy is not matame at all. A much more mainstream position is that of the Rambam paskins that way, like Rabbi Shimon, that that a goy is matame b'magav v'masa, but not b'ohel, based upon the drasha zos haTorah Adam kiyumus ba'ohel atem kriyim Adam v'inu mishisrael kum Adam. But they are called ha'adam. They're just not called Adam. And the Balei HaTosos, based upon a Gemara in Bava Metzia, claim that that's not correct, that we don't pass the Rabbi Shimon, because there's a famous story there about Eliyahu HaNavi. The sugya has nothing to do with Tumah V'Tahara. It has to do with Mesadrin Levalchov. It's a Dinei Mamadus issue, but apparently he came through the cemetery, and one of the Amorim says to him, aren't you a Kohen? How did you come that way? So if he was walking through the... So I think it was Kivrei Akum or something like that. I forget what it was, and yet it seems like it would have been a problem if Eliyahu Navi was a Kohen or something like that. So they assume that a goy is metame even ba'ohel. But be that as it may, that is the only din of tumah that you have. You don't have any other kind of tumah, certainly not while alive. So if that's the case, what kind of what is this gzera? So it's a gzera, which they made fairly broadly, that they it might have to do with socialization. It's not clear. But nonetheless, that was what the gzeir was. It was mishum. It was to declare them to be a nida, even on the day they're born. Now, if that's the interpretation, okay, it's some gzeir midrabanan, and it's not particularly troubling. However, comes the next particular line. So the Gemara says as follows: Amar ugniva mishmei the Rav. Gniva was not actually such a reputable fellow. The Gemara in Gittin, I think, has an argument among the Rambam. Geniva was coming by, and the question, should they stand up for him or not stand up for him? Apparently, he knew how to learn really well. He knew how to learn very, very well, but he was not so from. You know, it's not such a...
Interesting name.
Bother hearts. It is an interesting name.
Is that his real name, or is that a play on...
Wamachlan and Chilion, their real names. Yeah, I don't know. You know, so whatever. Geneva is an interesting, it's a very interesting fellow. It's actually very important in terms of rabbinic thought about this particular question of how do you relate to someone who is.
Also stands out right to those Geneva, but Geneva is in Gittim, I think. It's actually the Nikud is Geneva.
Okay. So I'm reading base Medrash pronunciation.
Right. No,
so.
There was a difference in the name of the two places.
So I think it's the same person. He quotes Rav as saying, "Kula mishum avodas kochavim gozrim." It was all about a concern leading to idolatry. That was the concern. So the chiasa, and now we explain the chiasa of Acha bar Ada, Amar Yitzchak, gozra pitan mishum shamnan. Now the statement now gets interrupted because the Gemara doesn't understand. They make zera first on Pasachum, lest you come to eat Shem and Shalakum. And the next step would be on Shem and Shalakum, they have to be gozer because you might come to have Yenakum. And then Yenakum was also because of Mishum Benosam. But before that you can get that far, the Gemara says, "Excuse me, why would you be gozer on Pas more than Shemen? No, Shemen more than Pas. My U made the Shemen me Pas. That's why we say gozeru al Pitan Mishum Shamlam." So the Gemara says, no, Ella Al Pita Mishamlam. That was one Xera. Pas and Shem and Shalakum was one Xera, Mishum Yenam. So Yenam Rashi says, we understand why. In other words, there's a difference. It's one thing when you have someone's Pas and Shemin that you experience, you feel like closer to them and so on. But Yain, aside from the fact you're closer to them, you start to lose your, you know, control of your better judgment. So therefore, as Rashi says, Mishum Yenam Shayayin Boer Bo, who may be Lide Benoseim, right? The wine is burning and then it comes to violation of the next step.
Where would we find an enumeration of the 18 zeros?
In Shabbos in the first parak. The Gemara has a lengthy sugya talking about it. Most of them were actually Tum of Atarag Zeros. But it's in the first parak. If you want the exact, probably around Daf Tez Zayin or so, and there's a whole series. Most of those Xeris are Tum of Atara. These, if I remember correctly, there might be an exception or two, but these are the only ones I think that are not actually Tum of Atara related. So the Gemara says that so Al Pitan Veshamna Mishum Yenam Val Yena Mishum Benosehem, and then they say Val Benosehem Mishum Davar Acher Val Davar Acher Mishum Davar Acher. Now, the truth is, there would have been a couple of different ways of reading this. Usually we think of Davar Acher in the Gemara typically means Chazir. Yeah. But that's not what it means here, in any of the contexts. Number one. Number two, what it sounds like in the presentation, but the Gemara is not going to read it that way, is that they would go there on Benoseh Mishum Davar Acher, and on Davar Acher Mishum Davar Acher. In other words, Al Benoseh Mishum A, and on A Mishum B. But that's not how the Gemara is going to read it. The Gemara is going to read Al Benoseh Mishum Davar Acher, which is Avodah Zarah. Then they make reference to a separate gezerah. They would gozer on a davar acher because of a davar acher. They would gozer on, in other words, they would gozer on benosei mishum avodah zarah, and then they would gozer on a mishum b, totally unrelated to the, or not directly related to this. So the Gemara is going to talk about ma'al davar acher mishum davar acher. We'll get to that later. But right now, what the Gemara said is they would gozer on pitan risham the mishum yenam, they would gozer on yai mishum benosei, and they would gozer on benosei mishum avodah zarah. Now, so the Gemara immediately asks the following question. Benoseim doraisahi. It's not a rabbinic prohibition, it's a scriptural prohibition. Right? Why? They quote a pasuk, the siv lo sischatein bam. So that refers to marriage. So how can you say that they made a gezerah on Benoseim because of Avodah Zarah? So the truth is, when you read the Torah, in a sense it is a gezerah. It's a gezerah midoraisa. As the Torah prohibits this because one thing leads to the other, right? In Parshas Kisisa, how does it go? Pen tichros brus liosheva aretz vizanu venosav acharei Elohim v'hiznu espanach acharei Elohim Elohim asech alos aselach. Right? That's what the concern is all about. In other words, it's the intermarriage that leads to Avodah Zarah. However, it seems that that is in fact a Torah prohibition. So the Gemara says the following: Doraisa Shiva Umos Avoshar of the Kochavim. Lo, no. Midoraisa was limited to the Shiva Amim, the Kanani, the Chitin, the Priest, Yibusi, Yerashi, and so on and so forth. However, midrabbanon, they would go there on all other Abim, all other Umos. So that's what the Gemara says. The Midaraisa Shiva Umos Avoshar of the Kochavim. Lo, the Asu Inhu Vegozer Afilo the Shar of the Kochavim. They extended the Gzera to all of the Kochavim. Now, that in its own right is still, it's kind of a stunning statement. Right? The notion that that's only an Issa d'Rabbanan. You're talking about marriage here. Now, we're not talking about, you know, Stam, you know, Zanus. So the Gemara says, Ulu Rabbi Shimon asked, Ulu Rabbi Shimon ba Yochai da Amar ki Yosiris bin Chameach Arai, La Rab es kol ha-Mesiros ma'ika la-Memar. So what's going on here? So here you have to get a little background to this. There is a machlokas. It's not explicit amongst the Tanaim. It's the way the Gemara constructs the machlokas. There's a machlokas about the principle of Darshin and Taimid the Kra. The machlokas about Darshin and Taimid the Kra is, are you allowed to take what you assume to be the reason for a particular prohibition and say, in the Torah, and say, that if the reason applies, then the Isser applies. If the reason doesn't apply, then the Isser doesn't apply. What is the... A classic example of this would be the Machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, as to the Torah says that you're not allowed to take the pledge of a garment from an Isha Almana, of a widow. So the question is, why not? So the reason presumably is because when you took the pledge, you had to return it on a daily basis for the 12-hour period in which it was used, and you took it for the other 12 hours. And if you have this almana and this guy is constantly visiting her, you can only imagine what the neighbors are going to start to say. V'ata masiya shemra b'shchenu seha, as they say in the Mishnah. So the question is, what would happen if it was a wealthy almana? Okay, as I said, it was Imelda Marcos, and you wanted to take one pair of her shoes. Okay, so in that case, you're not going to be going back and forth. She has 999 other pairs of shoes in her closet. So what's the difference? It's not a concern. So Rabbi Yehuda says, it doesn't make a difference. It's still asin. Rabbi Shimon says, no. The whole reason is because that you're constantly entering. You damage her reputation. So if there's no concern because you're not going to be coming back and forth, so Rabbi Shimon says it's mother. The way the Stam of the Gemara understands this machlokas is a larger principle of Darshin and Taima Dekra. It's not unusual. I frame it that way. It was an observation that was made to me many, many, many years ago by Rabbi Robert Clapper, Arya Clapper from Boston, who pointed out that it's not really explicit in Devarei Tanaim. And in fact, if we were to ask the classic question, how do you paskin? Most of us, of course, would say that we paskin lo darshinam and taimid dekra. Except for that when you look at the psak of the Rambam, there are many, many interesting things that you see about this. For starters, when the Rambam paskins, like Rabbi Yehuda, that you're not allowed to take a pledge even from a wealthy almana. But he gives a reason for it. And the reason he gives still is the same reason that Rabbi Yehuda gave for the Almananiya, now that somehow you're still going to give her a bad reputation. And the truth is, it's strange to offer that reason when you don't need a reason, because it's just like Xeris HaKasim. Furthermore, he pointed out very, I think, astutely, I'm sure it's been observed before, the Gemara in a couple of places in Shas, this is relevant to this week's parasha, V'hotzi osa el michutz la'machaneh v'shachar osa lefanav. You take it out, the paraduma out. So there's a din that you're not allowed to take out two cows at the same time. So it's a machlokes, why? One Tana says, because they're going to say, if you take out, let's say, a black cow, they're going to say that you shechted both as a paraduma. And the other one says it's exeris akasa, v'hotzi osa el michutz la'machaneh. Okay, osa and not chaverta, osa velo chaverta. They have the same drasha by being mashke sota, that you can't do two sotos ka'achas. And there's a machlokas. Why? One reason is because if she sees the other woman there, she's not going to admit her infidelity, because even if she, in fact, was this unfaithful, because in the presence of this other woman, you know, it's too much of a, you know, she can't suffer that humiliation. And the other shita is v'hishka es ha'isha, you know, v'lo chaverta, or something like that. V'hishka es amayim osa v'lo chaverta. So the Gemara in both cases explains that what's the machlokas, because so the Gemara says fundamentally the machlokas is whether darshin and taimid dekra or not. And if you say lo darshin and taimid dekra, then it's hotzi osah amichutz lamachane osah v'lo chaverta. Period. If you say darshin and taimid dekra, there's a reason, because people will say that you shechted both animals. And the Gemara suggests that there's an afkamina there, which is whether or not you, let's say the second cow was also a paraduma, as opposed to if it's the wrong color. So if it's the right color, if it's also paraduma, it's a big deal. If it's a black cow, you're afraid people are going to say, oh, you can use both cows. It doesn't really matter about the colors. So the Gemara has in both cases the same machlokas, where it says it's the shim, whether it's dependent how you get to the din, is whether darshin and taimid dekra or lo darshin and taimid dekra. How does the Rambam paskin by chance? He splits the psak. In one case, he paskins, he quotes the din and quotes the basis as the drasha. And in the other case, he paskins the din the way the Gemara says, and then he quotes the reason for it. So Rabbi Klapper's point was simply that the Rambam here doesn't seem to care very much whether the Dashim time in the Kor or not. He knows what the Halacha is. So it's certainly not explicit. It's not explicit. It's not clear how you quote-unquote paskin, but it's also not explicit in the Devarei Tanaim themselves. One last interesting case, and that I think I've spoken about this somewhere here before, I don't remember what the context was, is the business of dressing up on Purim. And dressing like a woman is permitted. The Ramah quotes, it's like one of the last Ramahs in Or HaChaim. Others didn't like it, but the Ramah is fundamentally correct. If Rashi already says it on Chumash, it's not Rashi, it's a Sifrei. The Torah says, I guess it's relevant to the contemporary discussion a little bit, you know, with the transgender question. The Torah says that the Lo Yecha Gevar Lishev, Lo Yubash Gevar Sim Las Yishah, Ki So Avas Hashem Lo Kecha Kol Oseh Ile, and the Sifrei says, Lo Asarim HaKosev Ela Derech Toeva. Rashi quotes it. Right, so it sounds like the Sifrei reads that the Torah is explicitly giving the reason, which would mean that let's say you did it not for the purpose of the way, but let's say you have your high school play and you're cross-dressing, or it's Purim, you're doing it for Schok, not for Arayas purposes, that's why it's Mutter. But what about Lo Dashi in the time of the Kor? The answer is, so now I have to tell you the second part, I should have told you that. The Gemara has the following observation. It's a machlokus whether Dashi in time of the Kor or not. That's only when the Torah doesn't give the reason. However, if the Torah does give the reason, then the positions flip. Rabbi Shimon, who normally says Lo Darshin on time in the Kra, so he says the fact that the Torah shouldn't give you the reason because we'd have known the reason. The fact that the Torah gives you the reason means it seems to me that it's usher as a low plug in the original case. Plus, the Torah is teaching you something more you didn't know from the original iser. And the Chachamim hold, the Tanaim hold that Lo Darshin on time in the Kra. That's only when the Torah doesn't tell you the reason. But once the Torah tells you the reason, then the reason regulates the application of the din. So that's really, I think, the basis of that Ramah. Where does the Gemara take this? The Gemara takes us to the next step. A king is not allowed to have too many wives. Lo yarbe lo nashim. So what's the reason? Velo yasur lo vavos. So his heart won't go astray. So Rabbi Yehuda believes, I think it is, Rabbi Yehuda says that he's allowed to have up to 18 wives based upon the psukim by David. David had 6 wives, and God said, Vasif elacha kahena v'chahena, 6 and 6 more. But Rabbi Shimon said, Rabbi Yehuda says he can marry as many women as he wants as long as they don't lead him astray. And Rabbi Shimon says, no, the 18 wife limit is an absolute limit. Afilu achasu mesiras libo is aser. Why? So the Gemara claims that the poles have flipped because the Torah tells you the reason here. So Rabbi Yehuda, who normally would say, lo dashin in time in the cross, so since the Torah tells you the reason here, if the reason doesn't apply, if all the women are tzidkaneos, you can marry 1,000 wives. If, however, and Rabbi Shimon says, I didn't need the Torah to tell me, I would have understood why, lo yarbe lo nashim. And the fact that it tells me that means that there's an absolute limit of lo yarbe lo nashim, and the definition of riboy is more than 18, plus for lo yasur lavo, even achas was mesiras liba. The Gemara also has this inverted version of the machlokas by the question of lo sischatein bam. The Torah there is speaking in the context of the seven nations, and it warns them against intermarrying with the Shiva Umos. And the Torah says, Ki Yosiris bincha me'ach arai v'yavdu elhim acherim, v'chara Hashem b'chem v'shmidecha maher. Right, so they're told that they will lead you astray, and they will worship other gods, your children are the gods, and eventually God will destroy you. So the Chachamim say their reading is Lo Sischatein Bam. Now, might have somehow applied to they understand Lo Sischatein Bam as limited. I don't remember how they actually construct this, because the reason is given here. So I guess for the Chachamim, the Chachamim would say that presumably it's limited to these seven nations. And the Torah gives you the reason. I presume it means, but I don't know, that if one of these nation members wouldn't lead you astray, it would be permissible. And Rabbi Shimon says no, but it's only talking about the Shiva Umos. Though the reason given is to explain and to tell you when it wouldn't apply. Rabbi Shimon, however, who says that the Torah doesn't need to give you the reason, because the Torah gives you the reason, says that the prohibition of the seven Umos is categorical, and Ki Yasiris Bimcha Me'acharai is L'Rabbos Kolam Asiris, any Oved Avodah Zarah who would potentially lead your child astray. Which means the Gemara is suggesting that there's a machlokas here between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim as to whether or not the prohibition of intermarriage applies only to the Shiva Umos or theoretically to all the Umos. So now what the Gemara is saying is as follows. Until now, we said that the Gzeirah of Beno Sehem was because of applied to all other nations, not the Shiva Amamim. But if you hold like Rabbi Shimon that Lusishate Bam applies to all, then you can't give that answer. So how do you in fact explain why they need to make a Gzera of Benosehim? So the Gemara says the following: Ela Doreisa Ishus Derechasnos. The Torah only prohibits if it's done in a manner of marriage. But Asur Inhu Gazer Afilu Derechasnos, even if it's not in a marital context. Hence the expression that we referred to earlier. So now the Gemara says, one second, you're telling me that Ishus is Asur, but Derechasnos is Mutar Minat Torah. And they were gozer on znus. So the Gemara says, "What do you mean? Znus nami bebeistino shoshem gozer? No, znus with an oved avodas kochavim was from the gzera of shem ubeistino. So you're stopping to think about shem ubeistino. Okay, we know the base medrash of shem ve'ever. As a friend of mine likes to say, his epiphany of understanding medrash was when his Bible professor said, "What was anyway on the shelves of the base medrash of Shiva Shem Ve'Ever?" So here we shame, you know, it's not. I call it the inverse "Where's Waldo?" Chazal have a principle. I don't know if Rabbi Shalom Karmi was the one who coined this term, but the conservation of personalities. So we know there's a fellow named Malki Tzedek, and we have Tamar. So somehow they're all connected. So Malki Tzedek is shame, and Tamar is the daughter of Malki Tzedek. And so when Yehuda sentenced her to death to burn. That apparently demonstrates the fact that Shemu Beis Dino had already been gozer on Znus with a Gaya. To be perfectly honest, I don't quite understand exactly what's being stated here, because I'm not sure what was Tamar in their eyes. Was Tamar Jewish? Well, was she an Ashishish, number one, in which case it's not relevant necessarily, and number two, was she Jewish? Was the assumption was that because she married to this family, she was, but they didn't know who her paramour was, so the assumption is he wasn't. What exactly are they thinking? But from the fact that they were going to burn Tamar, and she was presumably not married, I mean, she was, we call Shomer Siyafam, so therefore you see there was a Gzera against Znus by Anakum. It's very, this Shemu Beis Dino, Gazrala. Dechsiv, Vayomer Yehuda, Hutzi'uha, Vesisarev. So Ella, I should point out by that point also, it was no longer shame. It would have been Aver Ubeistino. Shame, I think, if you work it out, Yaakov Avinu could have learned in the Yeshiva shame Aver based upon the numbers. I think. I'm not knowing. Malkit said that could have been shame. I don't remember if Yaakov himself could have learned Yeshiva shame Aver or only Yeshiva's Aver. I don't remember. But anyway, so that's what the Gemara says. So it can't be that they would go there, Derech Znus. So the Gemara says, Ella de Oraisa, Oved Kochavim Habal Bas Yisrael is Aser. The Mashcha Basrei. So the prohibition min haTorah of the assumption will be of marriage was only the Jewish woman marrying the non-Jewish man. Why? The Mashcha Basrei, which, by the way, tells you how things have changed sociologically. Because the reverse is, Alva Yisrael HaBal Avodas Kochavim Lo. Okay. So the assumption is that if he was Jewish, he would exert the influence. Now, today, it has very much inverted, certainly in our community, right? In other words,
it's because we don't do patrilineal descent anymore.
It's clear in the time of the Gemara, by the way.
You're talking about the court of Shem, right?
So you're making an anachronistic mistake here. You have to see it through the eyes of Chazal, not in the Medrash's historical setting.
Okay.
Right? So the point is that in Chazal's world, it's clear from many Gemaras and Ksubas, it was very much a patriarchal society. Said, but certainly in Ashkenaz, Eastern Europe already, and certainly contemporary America, is very much matriarchal in terms of, you know, who gets drawn into which orbit. But the Gemara is suggesting the opposite Metzius, right? Which it does, forget what it was in the days of Shem. You know my famous epiphany. This also came from Rabbi Clapper. He once suggested that there's a medrash that Yaakov Yosef, when he was about to sin with Eishes Potiphar, it says, the Musti Yokno Shal Aviv Nirasa Lo B'Chalon, and he refrained from sinning. So the most of the Midrashim of the Girsa Chalon in the window. So he suggested the following, quoting another Medrash, that Yaakov looked like Yosef. He looked in the saw the glass window. He saw his own image. It reminded him of his father, and that's why it was Poresh. So I said to him, I being the clever 16 or 17-year-old, a freshman in college, said to him, ah, but did the windows in Egypt in Yosef's time have glass in them that there would have been such a reflection? And he looked at me and said, it doesn't matter. It only matters if in the time of Chazal it was in their window. And that is, he's 100% correct. You know, as the late Shaul Lieberman, Zichrono Bracha, commented, the Medrash tells you more about the Baal HaMedrash than about the circumstances in which it purports to speak. So I don't care what society is like in the days of shame, but Eber, I care what it was in the time of Chazal. Chazal, I know. Not only based on this Gemara, I know from Gemara Sing Subas that in fact it was patriarchal. In other words, we were taken into the orbit of the fathers. Now, by the way, also, I think it's true, think about Avraham Avinu and Yitzchak, right? What's happening there? Yitzchak, the wife is being taken, Yitzchak is not going to Aram, the wife is being taken, you know, to Yitzchak. Again, I don't know if that was the universal pattern. I mean, Yaakov went and he stayed in Aram for a while, but that may have been simply because his brother was going to kill him, so going back home wasn't the choice. But although from Yitzchak's command, it sounds like Yaakov was supposed to come back. So even there, it seems it was still patriarchal dominated. But be that as it may, so that's what the Gemara suggests here, that the reaction, that the stage goes as follows, that I don't know if it's Doraisa or the original Xer of shame was on the Jewish woman and the non-Jewish man. And then so now the Gemara pipes up and says, whoa, this doesn't work. Yisrael habal avodes kochavim halach lamoshe misinahi. The Amar, next week's parsha, not this week, habal aramis kanai pogimbo. Right? So we have the story of Pinchas. Right? In this case, and that's derech znos. And in that case, it's a Jewish man and a non-Jewish woman. And forget, we know, of course it's Asa Midaraisa. Of course it's Asa Midaraisa, because you see what Pinchas did to Zimri. And the Gemara explains that that's the din of Kanai and Pogimbo. So, the Gemara says that Ella de Oraisa Bifarhesia Uchamasa Shahaya. Midaraisa, what was prohibited by the Jewish man, was Bifarhesia. However, if it were Bitsina, so that would have been technically not Asr. Therefore, Va'asu inhu gazur afilu Bitsina. So the Gemara says, no, hold on. Bitsina nami beistina shachashmanoi gazru. The chi Asr of Dimi, Amar beistam shachashmanoi gazru. Yisrael habal avades kochavim, chayiv mishum nashga. I'll explain this in a moment. And ki Asr ravin Amar mishum nashgaz. So it sounds like the beistin of chashmanoim, and You ask yourself the question, where did they come up with this idea from? We know where they came up with the idea of the Beis Din of Shame, because the story of Tamar. Where did they come up? By the way, the reason why that's the Tamar of Shame's daughter is because what is Tamar's punishment going to be? Burning. And the din is that a Bas Kohen, Shazinsa, is Dina Besreifa. That makes Tamar a Bas Kohen, and the only Kohen we know is Umalki Tzedek. No. Melech Shalem, right? But who Kohen le'el Elyon, right? So it's only because he's the Kohen. So Tamar must be Malki Tzedek's daughter, and we know Malki Tzedek is shame. And therefore, so the question is, where did they get the idea that the Chashmonai based Dina? The answer is, you have to think about the historical circumstances of the Chashmonai, right? They're not the first group of people who are dealing with this problem, but they're dealing with this kind of cultural assimilation and intermarriage. And so the suggestion is that they were gozer, the Yisrael HaBala, but this Kochavim, that you're chayiv for these four things. And we'll talk about what the four things are. It's a little odd to us, because they're all xeris through our bottom. But the bottom line is, whatever these xeris are, based in Shal Chashmonai, we're gozer by Yisrael haba al avadis kochavim. So you can't say that was the xera of Tamid Shammai v'Hillel. That can't be what they would gozer on Yidchas Davar, because even that xera existed already. So we start out with the following. Derech Chasnus is certainly, it seems to be Asr Minat Torah. Akum Habal Bas Yisrael, I'll say for the moment, is based Dino Shel Shem Ve'Ever Gazru. Yisrael Haba Alavedes Kochavim Mifarhesya is Halach Lamoshe Misina Kanaim Pogimbo. So now the Gemara is saying that Yisrael Haba Alavedes Kochavim Bitsina is still Hashman based in Shel Hashmana Yuvana. So what were these things? Either Mishum Nashka or Nashgaz. So Rashi explains that Nashka is, they were gozer that they'd be Nida the Rabbanon, even though Minat Torah there's no Nida by an Ovedes Kochavim. Then they were gozer to treat them.
We're very sorry. They were supposed to give us a room for the babies.
So Shivcha, they would go there, Mishum Shivcha, to treat them having the din of Shivcha. Again, what this means, I don't know. I assume it means you give them Makas Madras through Rabbanah multiple times. Okay. Then they would go there. The Gimel is Goya, which is its own Isser de Rabbanan. And finally, the Aleph is the Mishum Ishus, as if they would go there if she was an Ishus Ish. Now, there is a discussion in the Gemara whether there's Ishus La'akum or not. The assumption is that there is Ishus for an Akum. But these are all types of Xeris mid Rabbanan. And the what's the other Shita? So Nun, Shin, Gimel are the same. Nida, Shifchan, Gaya are the same. Xeris the Rabbanan. The Zayin is Mishum Zona. Now, what does the other Shita hold? So the other Shita will say that, I think it's not here, it's in the parallel Gemara and Sanhedrin, that they weren't chashudim al znus, which is an interesting statement in its own right. Okay. So the bottom line for our purposes is that the Isser Bia already existed from Chashmanai Ubeis Dino. So the Gemara says, Ki gazru beis dino shal chashmanai bia. Aval yichud lo. There was no Isser on seclusion. There was only an Isser on Bia. The Asu Inu, and the Talmidim of Shammai and Hillel came, and they Gazra Filu Yichud. So the Gemara says, wait, that can't be, because Yichud Nami based in Shtino Shel David Gazru. No, Yichud goes back to an Isser of David and is based in. To Amar Rabbi Huda, Ba'osa Shah, Gazru Al Yichud. It's talking about the story of Amnon and Tamar, right? The story of Amnon and Tamar, which is found in Shmuel Beis, is that Amnon became infatuated with his half-sister, according to some version in the Medrash. According to Amnon, says that, you know, when Tamar says to him, don't do this to me, the king would never withhold me from you, let him marry me. Some say that she was the daughter of an Ishus Yifas Toar, so she actually wasn't technically his, biologically she was his half-sister, but halachically speaking, she wasn't related. So nonetheless, Amnon became infatuated with her. He pretended, he feigned illness. He asked David if he could send his sister to take care of him, and he ends up raping her and then sending her away. It was a disaster, to put it mildly. So the Gemara says that at that time David is based in Aser Yichud of a Penuya. So if that's the case, how could you say that Chashmonai based in Gazra Alau? So the Gemara says Amri Hasam Yichud Bas Yisrael. Aval yichud ovedes kochavim lo. That was the only prohibition on Jewish, on yichud with a Jewish woman. With non-Jewish woman, they didn't make the gzera. And then v'asu inu gazru afila de yichud avodes kochavim. Okay, but the Gemara is not satisfied with that. Why? Because yichud debas Yisrael doraisa hi. It is an interesting question whether it really is doraisa or not. But right now, the Gemara sounds like the yisur of yichud with a Jewish woman is in fact min haTorah. The Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yotzadak. Remez leyichud min haTorah minayim, which is already an odd formulation. When you say remez, it sounds like it's only an asmachta. But what's the remez? Ki yisisecha achicha venimecha. The Torah, when it speaks about the mitzvah, the I don't know what you want to call it, the parsha of Meisis u'Madiach, where someone tries to persuade and seduce another Jew to worship Avodah Zarah, so the Torah describes it as if your brother, the son of your mother, tries to seduce you. So the question the Gemara asks is, V'chi bein e-mesis, bein av e-no-mesis? Why does the Torah pick upon the son of your mother as opposed to the son of your father? Ella bein misyached in imo, v'ein acher misyached im kol arayah shebetorah. Right, so based upon that, and clearly this is a remez. This is not, it's not only not pshuta shomikra, it's hard to understand where did they come up with yichud? Lest you think the drasha is totally crazy. Why did they say this had anything to do with yichud? How does that, yisisecha achicha ven imecha? Fine, so bein ima'im, where does yichud here? So the end of the pasuk, yisisecha achicha ven imecha ovincha ovitcha, o eshes chaycha, o reacha, sher kanaf shecha, Baseser Lemor. right? Because that's where Hasasa takes place, in seclusion. So even though it's Ben Imecha, it's not really Ben Imecha seclude you, it's Bein Im Ha'ein. Okay, it's only a remez. A remez that that all the Hasasa except for Bein Im Imo, and that's assumed to also include the reverse as well, the father with the daughter. Ve'enach ha'misyachin kolaraya shebetorah. So the it's interesting because so the Gemara's answer is yichud doraisa de ishesish va'asa David v'gazar afila yichud de pnuya. So this is a very interesting question. When we say yichud doraisa de ishesish, so does that mean only ishesish, or does it mean ishesish as opposed to pnuya, meaning all the arayas but pnuya is not an erva? And I raise that question because what's the din of yichud with anida? Now I highlight this point and I don't want to discuss this at length because what's the din of yichud with other arayas? For example, a sister. So the sister, the din that the, I don't know if it's explicit in the Gemara, but the din that the Shulchan Aruch has, the Rambam has, is that there's no iser of yichud with a sister, but one is not supposed to live on an extended basis with a sister. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. So it's clear there's no iser yichud at all with a sister, but she's one of the other arayos. So the question is, so when the Gemara here says that Eishas Ish is what's Doraisa, does that mean Midaraisa really it's only Eishas Ish, it's not any of the other arayos, the blood relatives? Or was it just to contrast it with Pnuya, and then you have to get into the whole discussion, which we're not going to have, is what is the status of Nida exactly? But for our purposes, the Gemara says that the Yichud of Pnuya was not Asur Min HaTorah, and David and Beistino were Goser and Bas Yisrael Yichud. And then, so the Gemara says, V'asa David v'gazar afilo Yichud of Pnuya, v'asu tamidim v'shamei yisel, v'gazar afilo Yichud David eskol chaven. Fine, so that's where the Gemara leaves it. So we have a whole series of Gezeros. But what's permissible Min HaTorah would seem to be derech znus with, and here the bottom line seems to be that ironically, in reverse of the Gemara sentiment, it would seem that a Yisrael habal bas bal akum, you know, avedes kochavim, bitzina is only the rabbanon, bifarhestia is a derais of kana and pokimbo, but the reverse is actually only the rabbanon. In other words, a Jewish woman with a non-Jewish man, if it's done derech snus, that derech ishus, is only an issa the rabbanon. So anyways, this Gemara would be sort of the source of that idea, as crazy as it sounds, that the only prohibition is marrying min haTorah, not actually sleeping with a non-Jewish woman. Okay, that's awesome, the rabbanon. The Rambam actually says that, and then he speaks about how that it shouldn't be kal beinecha. You shouldn't take it lightly, because if you look at all the things that it has led to, which is probably true. Okay, so anyway, so that was the first half of the Gzera. So the bottom line is, according to this sheet, that's Machlokas, one sheet that says that Benoseam is that the Nidos me Ari Susan, from the day they're born, for the time they're in the crib, they're already considered a Nida. And the other sheet is that no, that Benoseam was an Gzera, an Isser Yichud, with a non-Jewish woman. Right, because the iser bia derech ishus is min haTorah los eschatim bam. The iser bia shalo derech ishus is some type of the rabbanon. It might have been shemu beistino who goes there on the woman. Not clear. The man would have been aser min haTorah b'farhesia, but bitzina would have been mutter min haTorah. But that in that situation, based in Shachashmonai, where goes there on that bia, and then the Talmidim Shammai and Hill came along, and they oser the yichud of an ovedes kochavim, and that's what Benoseim refers to here in that line. Okay, so now the Gemara asks the other question, which is, what was al davaracher mishum davaracher? My al davaracher mishum davaracher. Amram Nachman by Yitzchak, gazur al tinak oved kochavim sheyitame beziva. They would goes there on a non-Jewish child, male. That he would become tame, that he would be a zub automatically, and that he would be treated as tame. Shelo yehe tinok yisrael ragil etzlo b'mishkav zachar. The concern was homosexuality, not homosexuality, homosexual behavior, right? This is not. And Chazal didn't recognize an identity or an exclusivity. Chazal only, the halach also doesn't. I mean, the Torah also doesn't seem to. But Chazal, in their worldview, there wasn't such thing as being homosexual, heterosexual. There was homosexual acts, heterosexual acts. So in this case, and we know this is true, certainly in the Greco-Roman culture, you had people, it was a very common practice, so your man had his wife for procreation, his young male was his lover. And you know, even today, they talk about it in the world of yeshivas, of all male environments where you have what I guess they would call opportunistic, you know, homosexuality. It's not an orientation per se. So the Eber goes there on a tinok, shonachri, that he should be considered a zav automatically, because you don't want him, because, ironically, the fact that he's not Jewish doesn't mean that that the other children, the Jewish children, aren't going to play with him. But if you treat him as being tameh, then they're going to keep the Jewish children away from him. It does tell you something about their perspective on tumah. I guess it was partially the question of how inconvenient it made their lives if you became tameh. So the Eber goes there on that mishum tumah. So now the Gemara asks a question. I'm sorry, the Gemara explains. The Amar Rabbi Zera, Tsar Gadol Hayali Itzo Ravasi. It's a very strange expression. It sounds like he was constantly pestering his Rebbe, Ravasi, to give him an answer to this question. Ravasi didn't know the answer to the question. And Ravasi Itzo Rabbi Yochan, Rabbi Yochan Itzo Rabbi Yana, Rabbi Yana Itzo Rabbi Nasa Ben Amram, Rabbi Nasa Ben Amram Itzo Rebbe. Tinok Ove Tilchavim Eimasai Mitame Beziva. What age is he Mitame Beziva on? For Amar Li Ben Yoma. From the day he's born. However, Uchshem Basi Eitzel Rabbi Yichia. Now, who's talking? I assume it's Rabbi Zera talking, who began this chain. Right? He bothered Ravasi and so on, but he says Uchshem Basi Eitzel Rabbi Yichia Amar Li Ben Teisha Shana B'Yom Echad. When I came to Rabbi Yichia, he told me 9 years and a day. Why? Because you can't. Because for a male, there is no such thing definitionally halachically as bia until you're 9 years and a day old. For a girl, it's 3 years and a day, and for a boy, it's 9 years and a day. In other words, any act that we would refer to as a sexual act before then is halachically not considered a sexual act. It's like physical penetration with an object, with a piece of, you know, with a piece of wood. It doesn't, it's halachically not identified as bia. Meaning, if you have a person who would rape a girl below the age of 3 years and a day, you know, let's say he weren't Jewish, she is not psula lakuna. If she were older than 3 years and a day, if he's not Jewish, she's psula lakuna. Why? Because before, after the age of 3 years and a day, it's bias nus, right? It's not a question whether she's at fault or not. So she was a nivel al apostle law. Before 3 years and a day, it's not called bia. That's the way the halacha recognized. And the same thing would be true if it were could be an adult woman who had a relationship with a 8-year-old boy, a 9-year-old boy. Right, the difference between the two, even as a physical act, is the same. Is that with the 8-year-old boy, it's what they would call masa eitz ba'alma, whereas 9-year-old boy, it's an act of bia. One would pass the whole lakuna, let's say he weren't Jewish, and one would not pass the whole lakuna. So Chia says that we're not concerned until the boy is 9 years and day old, because you can't have halachic bia until that point. So no isser, technical isser, can be violated. Ukshabasi v'tzesi dvarai lefnei Rebbe. When I assume it's Reb Zera talking, comes back and tells Rebbe what Reb Chiya said. Amar li, hanach dvarai ve'echos div Reb Chiya. Put aside what I said and follow Reb Chiya. Da amar tinok ovei kolchavim emar sa metame beziva mitesh shani yom echad holol v'roi lebiya metame nami beziva. So that's what this davar acher mishum davar acher is. The only thing I don't understand about the story, and Tosa sort of alludes to the fact that he's bothered by this. Reb Zera said, Sar gadol hayuli eitzor vasi. Mida Amrinan, Tosus writes, the bottom line. Uploni eitzel ploni. Mash mashakulam haya bidarechad v'kulam bimei Rebbe. And it's true. If Reb Zera is the one who was bothered, he's been pestering Ravasi for years. Can't get an answer. Finally, Ravasi goes to someone who goes to someone, the Rebbe. And then Rebbe gives an answer. And then he goes to Rebbe Chia. And Rebbe gives a different answer. And then he comes back to Rebbe and says, no, Rebbe Chia told me something different. Rebbe says, follow Rebbe Chia. So it sounds like everybody was contemporaneous, because otherwise, how do you have such a thing? It really does sound like that in the words. The only problem is, it's not true. I don't even know if Rabbi Yochanan probably saw Rebbe, but I don't think that Rabbi Ravasi, who was a Talmud Rabbi Yochanan, or certainly Rabbi Zera, who's second or third generation Amora, ever saw Rebbe. Probably not Rabbi Chia either. So I don't quite understand. Something seems askew in terms of the name chain and who's doing what here.
Steinzels doesn't say Rabbi at all. He says Lifnei Rabbi.
Because Rabbi Chia is a contemporary. No, that's just his. That's how he vocalizes it.
Oh.
No. That, if you listen, everybody pronounces it differently. But you know, Sfaradim pronounce it Rabbi. But no, that's what in the Ashkenazic language is Rebbe. Rabbi Chia is Rebbe's contemporary slash slightly student. No, so it's Rabbi Udanasi. It is Rebbe. So I don't quite know how to make the generations add up, but that's what the Gemara leaves it as. Okay, and then finally, Amar Avina Hilkach Hotinokes Ovedes Kolchavim Baskel Moshani Mechad Hol Ruia Labia Metame Nami Beziva. He says a tinokes ovedes kochavim is metame from the age of 3 years and a day of ziva, because we don't want to be margil any acts of iser. So the Gemara says pshita. Well, of course, because a boy is at 9 years and a day, a girl is at 3 years and a day. So the Gemara says mahu detema hayadal argule v'hayle yadal argule kamash malon. Now, which the truth is that the Gemara's Hava Minah that makes to me is more appealing than the Maskana. The Gemara says, yes, I know that a girl at 3 years and a day is technically capable, it's a Maisa Bia. But a three-year-old is not likely to engage, even a deviant three-year-old is not likely to engage in a sexual act because she is totally, totally, completely clueless. You look around in our world, unfortunately, 8 and 9 year olds are not totally clueless. You know, most of them are clueless and most of them are uninterested, but it's not min hanimna that you would have such a thing. But a 3 year old, you think it's inconceivable that this would even be relevant. That's what the Gemara says, kamash balan, that they would go there. My assumption is it's not that they were actually concerned, but that they, when they make the gzera, they follow the sort of halachic template. And if the halachic template is that, if the concern is, we want to create tuma by, you know, vedes kochavim, so that Jews will not interact as much, so and because we're afraid it will lead to bia, so even though obviously when it comes to a 3 or 4 or 5 year old, that's certainly not a concern, and probably not a 6 or 7 year old, we're not going to sort of, the question is, where do you draw the line? How do you draw the line? At what point do you say, because you could have made the same argument by a boy, a 9 year old boy is probably also not interested. Like a 12 year old boy, I understand. Even if he's technically not an ish yet, you can understand why it's relevant. So once they're making an exam, they sort of follow the standard halachic template of, well, if it is, if that's the age you roy the bia, and that's the concern, so that's the age where it goes to the tumon, even though in reality it's not likely that at that age it's going to lead to this particular behavior. Okay. Fine. Next Sunday we have sheared 2 more Sundays, so the next step is actually to talk about the Batei Din who wanted to be Mekel a lot. Based in Sharia. All right.
Sharp.